You know, we've been having such a feast. I don't know. I really have been loving this series. I loved what I heard from Rachel 2 weeks ago and from Dustin last week. I just was feeding so much in that and getting so much out of it. And I hope that's the same. I believe that's the same for many of us, really. You know, in week one, we learned to think beyond minimums, that God's calling us to think, to envision things differently, and then respond accordingly. We saw the word nevertheless, how nevertheless gives us permission to act in what God is saying. Like Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, even though I fished all night and caught nothing, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to let down the net. Like God is, I believe, just dealing some nevertheless cards out to us that we can play right now as an act of faith, that we can say, okay, I'm going to receive your rhema word, your spoken now word, knowing that your word shifts the seasons that we're in. And out, because that season has shifted, I'm going to go with your word instead of my experience. Can you say amen? In week two, we learned a lot about partnership and how our imagination needs to be founded in the goodness and greatness of who God is. We saw, in terms of partnership, a negative imagination can partner with fear, creating an environment of worry and anxiety and unbelief. But a positive imagination partners with hope, creates an environment of expectation and faith and peace. And we need to partner with God. And last week, we really learned about the thought-action connection. There was so much more. Honestly, if you missed this, watch them on YouTube, listen to the podcast. They're so good. But there's this way that actions reflect our beliefs. And so our actions reflect either our trust or lack of trust in the goodness and nature of God. And we learned a lot about how connection with God and with each other really creates a filter in our life. And spending time with God sets us free from like negative mind loops that we're stuck in. And it releases into us a sanctifying effect in our imagination. And I kind of want to carry on from that place today. You know, instead of having a negative mind loop, he wants us to have a faith-filled mind loop, if you will, and that we just call faith, really, and what I'm going to call a faith image. Having a faith image. And so, point number one in your notes this morning is simply this. A faith image is an internal picture that gives your faith a focus. It's an internal picture that gives your faith a focus. So the founding members of this church had a faith image. They saw something in their hearts, and it motivated them to build what they saw inside, outside. It led to action. And we need that kind of a faith image for our church today, for our community today, for our personal lives, for our families, for our kids, for our marriages. Sometimes our kids are going through a rough season, but if you have a faith image, you know who God has created them to be. That's an anchor for you to stand in faith and in prayer and relate to them according to who they are in the Lord and not just what's going on in the now. It gives you a vision. And we need a vision for all these areas of our lives. A faith image is a sure place that God has given you, even when there's obstacles that seem to be contradicting that vision. It's this place where it's an anchor. You're pulled towards that in faith. It's pulled towards you until you come to full assurance of faith. And it becomes fully expressed. What God showed you in vision becomes fully expressed in reality. So when we're talking about imagining or envisioning, it's simply another way of putting the statement, we walk by faith and not by sight. Basically, I'm saying I'm going to receive input from what I see inside with the eyes of my heart, with the eyes of faith, and not just from my five senses. When Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight, he wasn't saying, like, don't bother with the red lights and the stop signs. Like, please do walk by sight and drive by sight as much as you possibly can. But he's saying that our five senses shouldn't be the only input that we get in our, because we are not just natural, we are spiritual. We need to look with our spiritual eyes and with the eyes of our faith. And when we talk about faith image, we're talking about this spiritual function of the eyes of our heart, seeing this picture God has given us. It begins with what we see in Romans 10:17. This is a really key verse in regard to faith. Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, which the word for word there is rhema, of God. Faith comes by hearing. When I hear, I get faith, and hearing by the word of by the rhema of God. There's a way that the word of God even causes us to hear. Hearing comes by the word. You catch that? It's not just faith comes by the word. Hearing comes by the word. Our ears get opened by the word of God, and God speaks to us, and it ignites faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here's what happens. Faith comes by hearing, and then it becomes something that you see inside. Your next point there. It's something that you see inside. There's a clear picture that grows out of what God has said. That is what I mean by faith image. You hear it, but then you begin to see it, and you begin to picture it. And some examples of that, I think about Exodus chapter 13, verse 5, when God told the children of Israel that he was bringing them out of Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. He described it as a land of milk and honey. No Israelite in Egypt, they've been there for 400 years. No one had ever seen the promised land. No one knew what it looked like, but God gave them a faith image, and he said, this is going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. And they began to visualize, they began to see what this promised land was all about. I want to show you some other examples of having a faith image. If you have your Bible or Bible app, you can turn to Matthew 9. It'll also be up on the screen. And I want to show you this story quickly, not the whole thing, but an example of a faith image in this woman who we know is the woman with the flow of blood or the issue of blood. And it says this in Matthew 9, verse 20. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. Now catch this next part, verse 21. For she said to herself, say that with me. For she said to herself. This lady was talking to herself inside. She said to herself, listen, and this is what she said in quotes. If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Verse 22. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. So it says she said to herself, and when you really study that out, it's like it's something that's ongoing. She kept saying to herself. She thought. She had a faith mind loop. She had a playlist going on in her head of a declaration. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. And it became a faith image that she was saying within herself. She had an internal picture of what would happen if she only touched his garment. And that led her to a point of action. When Jesus came through and it was a big old crowd, she didn't get intimidated and say, well, I'm never going to get through. I'm just a little lady. And there's a whole bunch of people. She pressed in. That faith image led her to wiggle through all of these different people, and it led her to do something in faith, and she just barely touches the hem of his garment, and instantly she feels something has changed. And Jesus feels that virtue has gone out of him. There's a point of contact that happens. She received a faith image, and it was expressed in action. And what she saw in her heart became a reality in her life. I want to show you that phrase that I think we sometimes just look at, well, she went and touched the hem of his garment and that was that. But how did she think to even do that? Sometimes we overlook some of the significant parts of the story, and that journey of faith that she went on was an important thing. Somehow, some way, the Spirit of God dropped into her heart a faith image that if you can just touch the hem, it's all good. Look at the Roman centurion in Matthew chapter 8. He had a similar faith image. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, a commanding officer of 100, came to him, pleading with him. This is a Roman, by the way, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." What's going on here in this centurion's life? God, I want to show you something. Like, his faith image was really simple. As a commanding officer, he was under authority, and when he gave commands, they happened. People did what he said. And he saw that Jesus was a man under heavenly authority, and his faith image was simply Jesus speaking a word, and that is what he asked Jesus to do. Now watch this for a moment. God gave him a faith image out of something from his world. God will speak, you have to know this, God is going to speak in a way that you can relate to. He's going to speak to you something that you get. He's going to talk to you out of the world that you are in. Some people think when God starts to speak, it's going to be, or show them something, it's going to be simply something otherworldly. But he may take something that you're very familiar with and speak something supernatural out of it. Sometimes we get overly mystical and we miss that God is saying something really powerful right in the moment. And he told this centurion, the Father somehow by the Spirit of God dropped in his heart this faith image of Jesus as a heavenly commander speaking a word against disease and sickness. And he knew in his heart, he had the faith image in his heart that if Jesus would do that, it was a done deal. The Lord loves to speak to us just out of the things around our lives. So that's the first thing about our faith image. And the Lord giving us a faith image. Let me give you another point about this. Biblical meditation develops the faith image or images that God wants us to have. Biblical meditation. Psalm 19:14, you might be familiar with this, but it says, "Let the words of my heart and the words of my mouth rather and the meditation of my heart be acceptable or pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." This word meditation, it means resounding music. It's saying, "Lord, let the playlist on the iPod of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Let whatever is looping in my heart, whatever I am dwelling on, whatever I am focused on, whatever I am ruminating over, let it be pleasing and acceptable to you." What I'm thinking about, plotting, planning, I want to do this connected to you. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about grace-filled thinking. He's saying, "Lord, don't let my thoughts be thoughts that are just off on my own, doing things without you. I want them to be connected to the fact that you are strong in me and the reality that I am redeemed and I am a new creation in you. Save me from the kind of thinking that puts me outside of that new creation reality, outside of your grace or outside of your strength. I want to think about this situation knowing that you are strong in us. You are strong in me, that I'm a new creation in Christ." This is talking about grace-filled thinking. And this is saying we need the word, the whatever's looping in our heart to be grace-filled. And I'll tell you right now, if that is happening for you, and you can edit your playlist. You can. Today, you can. When you find yourself being negative and stressed and anxious and wrong stuff is on the playlist. You got to edit that thing right there and right then. You got to change the song. You got to change the sound and let your mind get renewed and surrender to God in that moment and say, "Okay, Lord, download something fresh. You have a new release out on Heavenly iTunes. Put it on my playlist right now." You guys get the picture. Okay, this. Let me show an example from the life of Joseph. This is around the birth of Jesus. It says in Matthew 1:18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." Joseph didn't have the information that Mary had. You get it? Like Mary, with announcement from Gabriel, Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Mary knew how this had happened. Joseph didn't know how it had happened. And it says he was a just man and he was a compassionate man is what we're seeing here. Verse 20, but while he thought, catch that, underline that, while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Who called his name Jesus? Joseph. According to the word that the angel had given him. Here's what I want to show you. Backtrack for a second to the verse that says, while he thought on these things. So Joseph has discovered that Mary is with child. He doesn't quite know what to do. So he's pondering it. He's thinking about it. He's pondering it prayerfully. I want to show you something here. Joseph is meditating. Joseph is prayerfully thinking about what to do. And he's coming at it from a positive place, a godly place. The scripture says he was a just man. And it shows he was thinking about putting her away quietly, ending their relationship very privately, instead of doing what he had the right to do, which would be to make her a public example. This is before he knew anything from God. In other words, he was thinking through a filter of love, even though he was hurting. Track with me for a second. The Bible says love believes all things, bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And he was wearing a lens of love. He was thinking about this out of a lens of love. And while he was thinking, while these thoughts were going through his mind, while he's trying to bring them before the Lord, God showed up and superimposed the faith image he wanted Joseph to have, and Joseph received a download of God's thoughts. Joseph's like, okay, this is what I'm thinking. I'm trying to do this in a way, I believe he's doing that in a way that he's in a place of prayer. And while he thought, God spoke. There's something that happens with meditation, even when we're struggling and we're wrestling, but we're bringing it before the Lord and we're looking into the word and we're seeking God for guidance and we don't know what to do, but we stay in that place of being present with God. He comes in and he brings in the picture he wants us to have instead of the picture that we have. He brings a perspective that is otherworldly, a God's eye view from where he is instead of from where we are. And he shows us something we had no other way of seeing except he revealed it by his spirit. And Joseph got a faith image as he was thinking and meditating. And we see how he responds. He embraces that word. He sees what God is doing. He acts on a new faith image. He takes Mary to be his wife and is not intimate with her until after the Messiah is born. And I just think it's such a beautiful picture. And he calls his name Jesus. And he just lines up with that faith image. Becomes a great father or stepfather, adoptive father, we could say. Now, sometimes we're wrestling with a similarly tough situation. We're struggling in prayer and we have the principle. Like we have the written word. And it's important that we are in, as we heard last week, to be in the written word. Get a Bible plan. Go through the word. Meditate on it. Be in the word, church. Can you say amen? Sometimes we have the principle, like we know what God says about something, but we need a rhema. We need more than the logos, the written word. We need a now word, a personal word. We need God to speak to us in that moment. And we have the invitation to meditate on the written word until we hear a now word. And there's a powerful link between the written word and hearing God's voice in a personal now way. And what we see in Joseph's life and many other places in scripture is people like, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. I know who you are. I know what your word says. So I'm here. I'm before you until God releases a rhema. And it changes everything. How much different would life be if we waited for God to speak and guide us instead of having a meltdown when things hit us that are really uncomfortable. Because a lot of times we make it worse before it gets better. It's bad, but then we make it worse. Think about this situation. Joseph's like, no, I'm convinced that this is bad. He's paranoid. Mary was unfaithful. She was gone for I don't know how long, and now she's pregnant. I'm divorcing her. Now, God could have recovered that and been like, no, what are you thinking? Go marry her. And this and that and the other. But Joseph had an opportunity to really make an incredible mess. But this situation became beautiful and redemptive and awesome. So you might be struggling and wrestling. Meditate on the word. That's the place where God's voice will break through and speak a solution right into your situation. That's where he will superimpose his perspective, his faith image upon what you're seeing. And you'll begin to, you have the chance then to respond like Joseph and take it and run with it. And that leads us to the last thing I want to highlight today. And you've heard this throughout the last few weeks, but I want to highlight it again. Right thinking becomes faith-filled action. Right thinking becomes faith-filled action. So faith starts with hearing, and then it develops into a faith image. And then it grows to a place of full assurance, and it's expressed with action. Sometimes we're focused on what we should do first. God, what do I do? But what I want to show you is that if we think right, we're going to do right. It's going to become clear to us. Philippians 4:8 says this, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I'll read from the message as well here. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me and what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Amen. Think on these things. The scripture says about Isaac in Genesis 24:63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there were camels coming. That's where he meets Rebecca. But I want to show you a progression. He was meditating out in the field. He was prayer walking. He's out there spending time with God. And in that place of meditating and spending time with God, he lifts up his eyes. That means, that's speaking of his perspective. First comes meditation, then comes a shift in our perspective. We begin to see what we're supposed to see so we can do what we're supposed to do. There's so many places in the scripture with lift up your eyes references. And every time you read a phrase, like in John 4, Jesus saying, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are ready for harvest. Every time we see a lift up your eyes phrase in the scripture, it's an invitation to change our perspective. It's an invitation to look at something differently. Everything Jesus is doing and showing us and inviting us into is a move into abundant life. But it has to start somewhere. This church building was started 60 years ago with putting a shovel into the dirt. And that simple action, that little breakthrough, steel breaking through soil, that one action started a building process. Where is God asking you to do that in your life? Where does the shovel of God's word need to break through the soil of your thoughts? Did you know the Holy Spirit? You do know this. Most of you know this. But the Holy Spirit comes to lead us into all truth. Why does the Holy Spirit need to lead us into all truth? Because we're not in all truth. And we need to be in all truth. Because where truth is freedom. You know the truth will make you free. We think, start to think right. Our minds are renewed by the truth. But we need the Holy Spirit to lead us into more and more and more. He is the Spirit of truth. To be led into the truth. To experience the truth. Where is God asking us to do this as a church? Where is he asking you to build? As we think about this call to envision, just remind you that these are some of the ways we're called to envision. We're called to envision increase. The Lord spoke a word over our house. Remember, about 600 or 700 more people being added and landing here. It's time for us to picture that, to envision that. We need to envision transformation. We need to envision a thriving life and a thriving church that's reaching our community and growing vibrant disciples and becoming such a place filled with the hope and the power and the glory of God in an ever-increasing way that lives are just being radically transformed. And I'm thankful for what he's doing right now, but we need to really envision something beyond what we know right now to go to the next level. Can you say amen? We need to envision revival. We need to envision households being saved. Youth revival, adult revival, senior revival, everybody revival. Lives transformed and filled with love and people carrying such incredible wisdom and such incredible anointing from the Lord that they're walking around the community and they're bringing heaven's solutions into earth's problems. And it's just like the church being the church not just going to church, but being the church and just releasing the kingdom. And that's abundant life as it fits into the context of the body of Christ. But there's also that abundant life to envision abundance and abundant life personally. There's a million different places you can fill in the blank, but I want you to think about this today. What is God asking you to envision? So our worship team comes today. I really feel like it is time for a new faith image or a renewed faith image.